You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, Harley Davidson's tax burden went down under last year's Republican-backed tax overhaul. We'll look at how that played out for the company's workers and shareholders over the last few months. Now, a bill spearheaded by Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson has passed the House of Representatives and is awaiting President Trump's signature. The Trickett-Wendler Right to Try Act allows terminally ill patients to seek out experimental medical treatments that haven't been approved yet by the FDA. Senator Johnson is with us now to talk about the bill and why he made the case for it in Congress. Senator Johnson, welcome back to Central Time.
Hey, Rob. How are you doing?
Good. How did this right to try legislation first come to your attention?
Well, I met with the Goldwater Institute a couple weeks before I met Trickett-Wendler. And Trickett, of course, was a young mom, three children. She had suffering from ALS. And the fact that I just mentioned right to try and that I supported it, literally tears started streaming down her cheeks. And it was really at that moment I said, okay, I'm now in support of this effort. I'm going to champion it. And that was in 2013. We since lost Trickett. She lost her battle to ALS in 2015. But along the way, I met Frank Mangiello, a fellow who right now is suffering from ALS. He has six kids. Matt Bellina is a former naval aviator. He also is suffering from ALS. And then little Jordan McGlynn, suffering from Duchenne muscular dystrophy, and his mom, Laura. These are just four of the people. They're the namesakes of the bill, but they just represent the thousands of terminally ill patients and their families who have no other treatment options. They don't qualify for a clinical trial, and all they're asking is if a drug is passed the safety approval, the phase one approval of the FDA approval process, still is in the approval process, which means the drug companies still think they have promise, so they're willing to spend millions of dollars trying to get that FDA approval. Rather than an unelected bureaucrat in the FDA making that decision, we're going to let patients, their families, and their doctors make the decision whether they want to try a drug that just hasn't completed the efficacy approval process to the FDA. We're giving that little bit of freedom, that little bit of hope to these terminally ill patients.
Yeah, that's the heart of this legislation, right? Can you talk kind of on a technical level, what changes when this gets signed?
Well, it should be signed next Wednesday is what we believe, the signing ceremony. And what changes is, again, these terminally ill patients who in the past, the FDA sometimes says no. Here's a case in point. Dr. Del Passant, an oncologist in Houston, Texas, was involved in an FDA clinical trial for a very aggressive form of endocrine cancer. And he had 150 patients signed up, and the drug was working. And so he had another 73 patients he wanted to put on the trial, apply to the FDA, and the FDA said no. But because he had the Texas rights to try law without liability protection, he took the risk on his career, his reputation, as well as any money he might have, any kind of assets. And he signed those patients up. He started giving them the drug. In the end, he added another 179 patients to his trial without FDA approval. That drug was eventually approved about 32 months later, and more than 130 of those patients were still alive once the drug was approved because of his courage, because of right to try. So this law will save lives. It does give people a little bit of hope. It's not a cure. It's not a panacea, but it's a little bit of freedom that I think these terminally ill patients more than deserve.
You mentioned the FDA. They have this compassionate use program. They, as I understand it, have a very high approval rate. 99.4% of the time they say, yeah, give it a shot, go for it. Only in special, exceptional cases do they not approve it. So that being the case, is this going to change that much for that many people?
It will, because really the only people that apply are the ones that they already know they're going to get approved. In France, it has a fifth of our population. I think last year 12,000 people were approved through their expanded access program. We approved less than 2,000, I think, last year. I heard on the floor of the House, one of the House members said it was only 400. So there is something wrong with our expanded access. It's not as inclusive as we'd like it to be. And so Right to Try just makes, you know, obviously gives those patients that don't believe and haven't been approved or wouldn't be approved under expanded access the ability to try these drugs.
Talking to Wisconsin's U.S. Senator Ron Johnson about the right to try legislation. It's passed Congress waiting for a signature. He says it looks like Wednesday from the president, giving patients, terminally ill patients, more access to medications at the early stage in the development process. Senator Johnson, some people have said this is likely to give a lot of people maybe false hope that because these medications are at such an early stage. All we know about them is they're not, you know, deadly in the short run. We don't have any sign that they're things that are going to work. What do you say to them?
Talk to somebody with ALS or a terminal cancer where there are no treatment options. But to talk to one of those individuals and their family members and ask them if they even believe there's something called false hope. They'll take any kind of hope. They have no hope. They have no treatment options. They are facing imminent death. And all they're asking for is the right of, I believe, every American to have the freedom to make that choice themselves, not a faceless bureaucrat. Again, there are far too many times with FDA bureaucrats just saying no, and they deny people drugs that eventually get approved and would have saved potentially one of their loved ones' lives had the FDA only said yes. So we're going to take it out of the hands of FDA bureaucrats that, you know, don't have that personal connection to those family members that are facing death, and we're going to give that that right to the individuals and their families.
A timeline, if this is in fact signed into law next week, is it instantly in effect? Is it something that's going to be phased in over time?
My hope is it's pretty much instantly in effect. Matt Bellina, that naval aviator suffering from ALS, he told me two Israeli drug manufacturers that have experimental drugs on ALS. They're going through the process. They've passed the phase one safety approval process, and they will make that available because now they have the liability protection. That's what they're telling Matt. So the sooner that occurs, the sooner Matt Bellina can at least try something, give him some measure of hope.
You had, I believe, a Democratic co-sponsor on this. I think there's a lot of focus on partisan differences in the Senate and the House. Is this an example, do you think, of ways that people can reach across the aisle?
Yeah, we actually end up having 46 co-sponsors in the Senate, which is kind of unusual. We had three Democrats, and then we worked with Ranking Member Patty Murray of the Health Committee, and in the end, in the Senate, this passed unanimously. It was passed by unanimous consent. Where Right to Try was passed in states, 40 states passed this, more than 97% of state legislators voted yes. It finally came up against the final hurdle in the House, and so the people opposed to it basically pulled out all the stops, and so it became a little bit more partisan issue in the House. But in 40 states in the United States Senate, it passed overwhelmingly, and I'm so glad that now it will be signed into law.
I want to switch gears for our last few minutes talking here today. Senator Johnson, your office sent a press release earlier. There's the North Korea meeting canceled. You asked Secretary of State Mike Pompeo about that earlier today. What are your thoughts on the cancellation, at least for now, of this meeting between the president and the leader of North Korea?
Well, it's unfortunate that Kim Jong-un decided not to move forward in good faith. What I asked Mike Pompeo in the hearing today in Senate Foreign Relations Committee was, I just want to confirm that in his meetings with Kim Jong-un, that he made perfectly clear, crystal clear, exactly what dismantlement meant. It meant complete, permanent, irreversible, verifiable dismantlement. Kim Jong-un fully understood that, and based on that understanding, released three hostages. So I'm not exactly sure what happened between now and then. My guess is he's trying to play the same games his father and grandfather played, thinking he can get away with it. He won't be able to get away with it. We've seen this this rodeo before, as well as, of course, in Iran, because when we relaxed the pressure of the sanctions, you know, we got an awful deal in terms of the Iranian deal as well. So the Trump administration is going to hold steadfast, and I think is completely appropriate based on Kim Jong-un's recent comments for us to cancel, you know, at least temporarily cancel that meeting. Hopefully Kim Jong-un will come to his senses and realize this is by far in the best interest of him personally, as well as his people, to completely dismantle his nuclear and ballistic missile programs.
If he doesn't come back to the table, what are you looking for in the U.S. response and U.S. efforts to keep up pressure toward denuclearization?
Well, one of the reasons I continue to counsel the Trump administration to maintain a relationship with China that realizes our top priority in that relationship is obtaining their maintaining their cooperation to maintain those sanctions, that maximum pressure campaign. It'll be through that maximum pressure campaign that is the only thing that will make Kim Jong-un give up his very dangerous weapons.
Do you think there's a carrot and stick approach? Can we hold out the hope of to North Korea of improved trade, of relaxing embargoes if they do come back to the negotiating table?
That's exactly what Secretary Pompeo and President Trump was offering Kim Jong-un. But again, we are the stick is he must agree to, again, complete verifiable irreversible dismantlement. He understood that when he agreed to the talks. So again, he's trying to play the game. The Trump administration is not going to let him get away with playing that game.
People have pointed out that maybe he never wanted complete denuclearization. He looked at places like Iraq and Libya without nuclear weapons programs of their own, regimes that are no longer with us. Is it really in his interests to not have nuclear weapons?
I believe it is. A completely different situation. He'll have China there pretty well guaranteeing his security as a dear leader. That's the concession that will have to be made. We're going to have to guarantee his survival of himself and his regime. But in return for dismantlement, his nation, his people will receive so many benefits. It's dramatically in his best interest, as well as this is where the interests of China and America align as well. So this is a win-win-win for everybody if he does do that complete dismantlement.
And briefly, as we wrap up, Senator Johnson, it's an election year, not for you personally, but what are you hoping to accomplish in the Senate in this election year?
Well, I certainly would like to have a Republican colleague in the Senate so that we're voting in concert and we really have the same viewpoint in terms of reducing the regulatory burden, continuing to have a competitive tax system so we can move our economy forward, get economic growth for greater prosperity, higher wages and benefits for every Wisconsinite and every American.
We'll leave it there for now. Senator Johnson, thanks for joining us today.
Have a great day.
That's Senator Ron Johnson, Republican representing Wisconsin in the U.S. Senate. He joined us today to talk about the passage of his Right to Try bill, which will allow terminally ill patients to seek experimental treatments. As you heard, we got his thoughts on the latest news in the non-meeting now with the leader of North Korea.